Welcome back to Through the Word, Proverbs 9. And today, you have two voices calling out to you. And I don't mean Peyton Jones and Barry Waters, although they're here with us too. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey.
Good to be back.
Now, the two voices that I'm talking about are here in the text, wisdom and folly. And each one is calling your name. It's sort of like, well, have you ever faced a decision, a fork in the road? And you know there's a right way, but there's also an easier way. And no one's looking. And you stand there. And it's almost like you have those little angel and demon characters on each shoulder, like Angel Kronk and Demon Kronk. Only they're not caricatures. It's a real decision, and you've got to make it. Do you click that link? Do you make that purchase? Go to that party? Get in that car? Which shoulder do you listen to, and which path will you take? Well, Peyton and Barry, I'm not sure which of you is wisdom and which is folly, but why don't you take us into the chapter?
I'll speak for wisdom. Now, back in chapter 7, we saw the adulterous woman calling out for the young man to come back to her place. But in our chapter today, we see wisdom calling out. Verse 3, she has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. Both are calling out for the simple-minded, the fools, but for very different reasons. Here, wisdom calls out to enrich the simple-minded, to not leave them in their ignorance any longer. She invites the fools to a banquet, interestingly enough, that includes the very pleasures offered by folly previously, but tempered with wisdom. This feast would not be a gluttonous, hedonistic Mardi Gras, but be enjoyed how they were intended by God to enjoy all things. Verse 6, leave your simple ways and you will live and walk in the way of insight. Wisdom offers you something sin cannot, life. Wisdom rewards those who follow her with life.
Here we have two sets of contrasting statements. The first statement is a warning against the way of folly. In verse 7, it says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes the wicked incur abuse. And do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Well, we certainly live in a day and age where this is relevant. If you, say, write something on social media that is confronting bad behavior, or even challenge someone in the street for being rude, you are likely to receive a bombardment of abuse. She is saying that if you try to reason with a fool, you're likely to get a slap around the back of the head. On the other hand, it says, rebuke the wise and they will love you. Now, she's telling us that if you correct the wise, they will appreciate you for it. If you tell wise people what you know, they'll profit from it. I want to be one of those people that can't be rebuked.
And moving to verse 10, our dear friend Wisdom reminds us of where we start this journey. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We saw this before at the beginning of Proverbs, and it's also in Job and Psalms. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Beginning as in foundation. You can have wisdom without the fear of the Lord, and you can even build more wisdom without the fear of God. But you're building on sand. You've missed the foundation. Start with the fear of the Lord. Respect. Stand in awe. Know that He is God and we are not, that His ways are higher. And the second part of verse 10 is new. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom begins with fearing God, but understanding comes with knowing God. Understanding is a beautiful thing. To get it, to put the pieces together and make sense of it all. And that comes in by examination and analysis, but it is only complete in knowing the one who made it. Let's say I find a handwritten letter. I can make sense of it through language, a dictionary, even penmanship. But I won't truly understand it until I know the one who wrote it. And wisdom makes one last call. Through wisdom, your days will be many. In other words, you can add years to your life by wisdom. How much is that worth? Wisdom rewards you. Mock it, and you alone suffer. But then another voice steps up.
This is folly's big sales pitch, isn't it? It's more fun if you get away with it. Don't pay for it. Stick it in your pocket and walk away. Folly is always going to be taking, not giving. Always selfish, always ignoring rules, and ignoring those who you care about.
Again, we see another comparison. Another woman, this time Folly. Like the prostitute, woman Folly is a loud and careless temptress. Bit of a trollop, really. And she's compared to the simple, gentle call of woman Wisdom. Both Wisdom and Folly cry out for the simple to come to them. If the simple turns to Wisdom, his folly will be taken away, and he'll be given wisdom. If he turns to Folly, his folly remains, and the darkness surrounding him grows even darker.
The chapter closes with one last word about the woman Folly and the invitation to enter her house. It is tempting to try and get away with it. Who's going to know? It's not like you're hurting anyone. It's just easier. It's like free rent at Folly's house. Verse 18. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. If you take that invitation, follow the crowd, take, steal, cheat, it's a dead man's party. Try and repaint it any way you like. It is not life. It's not living. Folly only wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. Jesus came to give you life. Interesting to note here that chapters 7, 8, and 9 all end their final verse in death. The warning, the reality of following folly. You can check in anytime you like, but you can never leave. And so ends the 9-chapter introduction of Proverbs. Two paths lay ahead of you. Two voices call out to you. To whom will you listen? Which way will you go? And where will you end up?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.